Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. It's good to come together to worship Him, to praise Him. You know, the Bible says, don't forsake the assemblings of yourself as you see the day approaching. You know, last night we had the grandkids over. You know how that is. We had a great time with him. But over there's a picture over our bed, in our bedroom, that has the shepherd, which is Jesus. And they have a sheep that's on the cliff. And what the picture is about is showing how, you know, the parable when, you know, the shepherd had 99 and one sheep goes astray. That means they leave the fold where God has put them, where God wants them to be. And they go in and they're going away. And what it says is that the shepherd goes for that sheep and takes him. And I was telling this because they were asking about the picture. We were in the bed and they were all asking. I said, this is what happens. And I said, the shepherd will take that sheep and break the leg. Break the leg. Will it grow back? Will it, you know, all kind of stuff. I said, they do that so that he can take that sheep and put it around his neck. And that sheep will never go astray again because they will know the shepherd's voice, the shepherd's heart, and the shepherd's love for them. And I tell you what, as we were talking about that, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, I'm breaking the legs of some of the sheep. And I thought, Lord, you have to break all two of them or four of them, whatever you got to do. But you see, God will do that so that they will come back where they need to be. You see, we're not a wandering people at all. God doesn't want to, God wants to come to the fold because that's where the protection is at. And so we need to continue to pray for our family and friends that God's mighty will would be done in their hearts and in their lives, that God would move upon them and shake them up. Let's just pray for our family and friends right now. Okay? As I pray, I want you to call out people that are not saved in your family. Okay? You might say, well, what's that? That's going to get God to move upon them. Okay? Call out their names. We should be calling out their names every day anyway to God, that God would move upon them and bring salvation to their lives. Because we have to remember, without God, where will they be? Not in a place that we want them to be. So if you will, let's raise our hands towards heaven and let's pray. Father, we come before you. And Lord God, you see, Lord God, what's going on in their hearts and in their lives of our loved ones. Lord, we call out the names of spouses and children, Lord God, and grandchildren and friends and families. And Lord God, we're praying that the Spirit of God would go forth, Lord God, and draw them in, Lord, whatever it takes, Father. And the ones that have left the fold, Father, break their legs, Lord God, in a spiritual sense, and bring them back to the shepherd's fold, Lord God, where they can know the heartbeat of the shepherd, Lord God, and the love of the shepherd, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, move upon them and bring them back, Lord. We pray this in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today. As this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to turn to a scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 39. Deuteronomy 32. Page 374. Look at verse 39. It says, see now that I, even I am he, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any who can deliver out of my hand. Here we see that's an interesting verse. You know, as you read scriptures, you come across, you know, all scriptures are important, every one of them. But sometimes there's a scripture that just kind of pops out, and it's like you just, wow, you know, this is a powerful scripture. Where it says, you know, there is no God like him. People, there is no God like your God. Amen. Come on. There is no God like your God. There is no one on par that is even comes close to who your God is. You know, there's all kind of little g gods out there. And the world will try to put all these gods on the same level as Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And they'll say, oh, they were all good men, and put them on the same level. But let me tell you this. The scripture says that there is no God like your God. There is no God that can take care of things like he can. There is no God that can heal the wounds that man may bestow upon us by whatever happens. There's no other God that can bring a healing to the wound on the inside of a heart of a person. There's no God like your God that can take care of things financially, physically, whatever way possible. Because we serve Jehovah God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and there is no one like him. So don't ever let anyone put Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, on the same par as all these other gods that are around. Because he is set apart. You know why? Because he is the only God that came down as human being, as a human being in flesh, and gave his life for his people. There has been no other God that has risen from the grave. There is no other God that is sitting on the right hand of the Father. And there is no other God that is coming for his people with a satchel on his breast here saying, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, forever will be him. That is our God. That is your God. And no one is at level with him. And he's telling the children of Israel, listen to me. Listen to me. We need to listen to the voice of the Lord. We need to listen that there's no other God like our God. There's no other God that can solve things like he can solve things. There's no other God that will go the extra mile for us, because he is our God, our Lord, and our Savior. Praise be unto our God. You know, we're about to celebrate, you know, the birth of our Lord and Savior. We'll talk about that next week. He was born for us. He died for us. He rose from the grave for us. He's seated at the right hand of the Father for us. And he's coming again for us. People, we had never been left alone, because he sent the Comforter also. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. There is no God like your God. One that heals. One that delivers. One that sets free people. One that supplies. Is the creator. One that is the sustainer. And one that is the giver of life. There's no other one like him. Not even close. So there's no other one like him. There's no other people like his people. Amen. That have something on the inside of them. They're God living in them. Hallelujah. Can you imagine? I would say probably everybody in here has given their hearts to the Lord. Amen. Can you imagine? God lives in you. that he chose to come into vessels that have been wrecked with sin and evil. But he chose you and I because of the love upon his heart and soul for us. There's no other God like him. No other God like him. People, we have something to shout about. Because our God lives. Our God reigns. Our God is the Savior of the world, no matter if people want it or not. And our God is the one that every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that he is Christ and he is Lord. Everyone, no matter who they are. Either we willingly do it here now, or we will be forced to do it later on. But everyone will bow and say that he is Lord. There's no one like him, people. There's no one like him. So that's, you look, when we go to him and we have a problem with something, there's no other one like our God that can say, okay, let me handle it. Let me handle that situation. God is wanting us to cast our cares upon him because he says he cares for us. Cast it upon him. Give him those things. Don't take it back, but give it to him and say, Lord, it's yours. The hurt, the pain, the sorrow, all those things. Lord, it's yours, Father. Help me. Help me. And the God that created the whole world comes in to us and helps us. Little old us, huh? From Gaydon and Kaplan and the Vermilion Parish area, God comes in. Because you know why? He cares for us. Amen. There's no other God like your God. There's no other God like your God. Praise God. It says he heals. In the scriptures, it says he kills. We've seen that. He makes alive. Yes. I wound. And I heal. You might say, does he wound people? Well, he breaks the legs just like the shepherd. Sometimes he has to let, not that he does it, but he has to allow wounds to come to get our attention back to him.
Yes, amen.
Because sometimes, you know, God has to hit us.
Yeah.
One side or the other. And he has to allow certain things to come our way. So that we will bend our knee before our God. Because you see, sometimes we can become very arrogant.
Yes.
And very proudful. Now there's a certain pride that's okay. There's a certain pride that's not. But God has to get our attention in whatever capacity or whatever way. So that all we know to do is look up.
Yes,
yes, we might have tears running down our faces. And our knees may be on the floor. But we're looking up to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it says that he lifts up and he brings up at his perfect timing. That's the kind of God we serve. It says that he has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. As it says in John 10:10, the B part of that scripture, the second part. Is it up? Yeah. He has come to give us life and to have it more abundantly. Abundant life refers to life in its abounding fullness of joy and strength for spirit, soul, and body. That's the power of our God. You know, when we got saved, we gave our hearts to the Lord and we were reconciled back to God. Thank you, Lord. We became his child. We are now the apple of his eye. Thank you, Lord. We are now in the palm of his hands. Can you imagine? Even being in the palm of his hand, his children sometimes, giants may rise up in our lives. Sometimes inside and usually from the outside. But sometimes giants rise up. But God takes care of giants. You know, it says in Scripture that we fight against not flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places. That's who we fight against. That's who is holding people in bondage from seeing the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and accepting Him as Lord and Savior. And sometimes we have to stand up as children of the living God and say, enough's enough. And draw the battle line and say, enough's enough. You cannot have my children, devil. You cannot have my spouse, devil. You cannot have my grandparents, my uncles, aunts, all those people, friends and family. And enough is enough. And to draw that line. We can see in Scripture where it talks about Goliath. You know, Goliath was one of the last giants upon the earth. They said he was around 9 feet tall or so. These giants came about when, hate to say this, but this is truly what happened, when fallen angels came and cohabitated with human beings, the female human beings, and they created a giants in the land. Did God want that? No. Because what they were trying to do is stop the lineage of Jesus Christ and Jesus being born. And so what happened was this giant, which was one of the last giants, Goliath, came up and was born and grew up. 9 feet tall, people. You know, when a giant rises up in our lives, a giant rises up. But let me tell you, no giant can stand under the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. We don't walk in our own flesh and blood and do our own thing. We walk in the blood of Jesus Christ and what He did at Calvary's cross. Hallelujah. That means we can have freedom through the cross of Calvary. You know, I don't understand the church by and large will not accept the cross as victory. Why not? It's an amazing thing. You know, years ago, ministries were birthed at the altars by men and women praying in tongues, praying by the Spirit of God. The altar was the main thing of the churches besides the pulpit. 60 years ago, people were at the altar praying and praying and praying and praying. Now we have altars that are empty. And we wonder why the church is in the state it's in. When there's fire at the altar and fire at the pulpit, there's fire in the audience. Hallelujah. There's fire there. And I'm saying pulpits at churches because that's where they mostly gathered. But it could be pulpits at your home, you know, places to pray at your home, you know. Letting the fire of God move, people. Letting the fire of God move. And all of a sudden it says that this giant, you know, was on one side of the valley, and on one side was the Philistine army, and then on the other side was the children of Israel. And we know the story, basically. And we know how for 40 days... this giant came out and cursed the God of Israel. And as he cursed the God of Israel, he cursed the children of Israel, the people. And you know what the children of Israel did? They cowered and got back, and they were scared every day that he would come out. You can read it in Scripture. They were scared. They didn't know what to do. I mean, this giant, oh my God, look at him. He's 9 feet tall. We're nothing. We're like grasshoppers. We're nothing to him. And they cowered People, we can't cower under the things of the pressures of the world, but we got to look to our God and declare the praises of our God, declare the victories of our God, declare what God has done to our family and friends, and walk in the promises of our God. And don't let anybody put you under a shell and say, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. You can't do that. Yes, you can. Under the power and the presence of Almighty God, all things are possible according to His will. Hallelujah. According to the will of the Father. And this guy, Goliath, for 40 days. You know what 40 days is in the Bible? Probation time. For 40 probation days, as it says in the comment, this guy came out and cursed the God of Israel. And for 40 days, God let the children of Israel take it, hoping one of them would rise up and do something against this guy. And all of a sudden, by the making of the Holy Spirit, Jesse, the father of David, said, David, I need you to go bring some food to your three brothers. They're in want. And David, we know David, God, he took care of the sheep. And when a lion came, he killed it. When a bear came, he killed it. Under the unction and power of God. We don't realize how powerful the Holy Spirit is on the inside of us. We don't realize how powerful that thing is. We don't realize how important it is to speak in tongues. That's the power of the Spirit of God upon your life. That's the power to speak that language, that prayer language, because it's that Holy Spirit on the inside of you, which is so powerful, is praying the things that you and I need for us personally, for our families, for our church, for our community. Things we don't even know about, but the Spirit of God knows. You know, God doesn't sleep. And He knows everything that's happening throughout the world. And so He knows as the Spirit of God is uttered from each and every one of us as we speak in tongues personally unto Him, that the power of the Spirit of God is moving upon the situation and moving upon the lives of the people. The power of Almighty God. And all of a sudden, David gets up there and he's giving the food to his brothers. And he hears, now it's not by accident, that Goliath's coming out just as David is getting there. And calls out to the God of Israel, cursing, vile language, hatred. And he sees, I'm sure he looks, the children of Israel. What are they doing? See, we should never cower under the pressures of the enemy. You might say, well, can I fight the enemy? You let the Spirit of God fight the enemy through you. Because He will destroy you and I. But He can't destroy the Spirit of God that is in us. Hallelujah. Because the Spirit of God that is in us has risen from the grave that lives in us. Has coming back for us that lives in us. That was born 2,000 years ago lives in us. That was resurrected from the grave lives in us. That's the power of our God. And all of a sudden, it says, David looks, he says, these people are scared. Now, David's a mere, they think maybe 16, 17 years old. If that. But God had chosen. Now, honestly, I think God looked to all these guys saying, come on, people, somebody stand up. Now I know God could have killed Goliath by just taking his breath away. God. But you see, God has chosen His people to use to get the job done upon the earth. And people, we got to keep saying that Jesus is alive. We got to keep saying that he's the only way. We got to keep preaching the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, no matter how we feel, no matter what's going on in the world, that he is the only God that is the door to heaven. Only. And all of a sudden, as David looks and says, look at these yo-yos here. Looks at his three brothers. And then David goes and he starts to inquire about what's going on. And his brothers got mad at him because they thinking he's coming just to do this, to take our place. And all of a sudden the king gives his command, you can go. Because Goliath is saying, send us a representative. And whoever wins, whoever destroys one-on-one, will get the kingdom of the other. And so David gets there and he says, I'm going to go. And the king says, okay. Noah, it doesn't say that anybody else volunteered to go down in that valley. But let me tell you, people, the valley is where we win.
Yes, amen.
The valley is the victory. I know a lot of times we don't want to be in the valley, but I let tell you what, the valley is where those flowers bloom. It's where it's precious and nice. Yes, it's bloody at times, but in that valley is where the job is done. And all of a sudden, he tries to put on the armor of the king, and it wouldn't fit on him. The helmet won't fit. Nothing fits. He takes it all off, and he says, look, I got to go like this. He picks up five stones, and people say all kinds of stuff about the stones. Whatever. He picks up five stones. He's a master slingshot, and he goes and he stands on the other side. Goliath comes, 9 feet tall, armor. This man is huge, muscles all over the place. But the one thing he didn't have was God.
Amen.
David, mere 17-year-old, not big at all, no armor, a slingshot, five rocks, but he had something that Goliath didn't have, and that was God. People, with God, all things are possible. With God, you can get things done. With God, when he speaks to you, don't be afraid to branch out. Now, every time I get up here, yeah, butterflies. Been doing it for a long time, but still, because you need the Spirit of God. And yet, you might feel a little, man, God, okay, Lord, I want to do this because you spoke this to me. I know you want me to call my friend and tell them about the Lord. Lord, I'll do it. Open the door for me. Do the praying, and then you go forth. And the Spirit of God will lead you. Sometimes it's just to branch out to give money to something. You know, to trust God with your money, to trust God with what you have, to trust God with any, whatever he wants, whatever he's speaking to you about. It always lines up with the word, okay? It's always right. But you got to branch out a little bit. And David said, I'm branching out.
Yeah.
His love for God, who had done tremendous things for him, outweighed how Goliath looked.
Amen.
What he saw, because he saw him as big as he was. And it says, as Goliath looked at David, he laughed. It's he said, is that the best you've got? And let me tell you, the world may laugh at us and saying, is that the best you've got? And we run to them. And God will destroy if he needs to destroy. Because it says he will kill, he will wound, he will raise up. He will bring victory where there's victory. And as Goliath looked at David and laughed, he thought, this is the worst I could ever think of. As far as how ridiculous this is. But let me tell you, every time there's a challenge that God puts in front of you, look at it. where God can be glorified through your life, through what you're going through, where he can be glorified in you, and where you can get to know God in a better way than ever before. Praise God. Praise God. And all of a sudden, David takes off. I don't have scripture for this. Okay, so this is out just from me. I wonder if he said, I'm going to get him. I wonder if the Spirit of God said, now! And look, he took off. He had the five rocks and the slingshot. And those slingshots were ones that they did like this. It wasn't one, you know, that we get in trouble with breaking our glass or whatever. You know. Huh, Brody? No? Okay. And other things, whatever else. Slingshot is slingshot. We try to use them to the glory of God. And so he takes his slingshot. And can you, now that has to be hard though, to running down a slope. Number one, running as fast as you can down a slope, having a rock in it, four rocks in this hand, and doing this and letting it go exactly when it's time to let go, and for that rock to hit dead center. People, we know it's God.
Yes,
see, all God wanted David to do was stand up for him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to run down that valley and let that rock go, and God took care of the rest. God takes care of the rest when we branch out a little bit. Branch out to go speak somewheres. Branch out to tell people about the Lord. Branch out a little bit of what God is doing in your heart and life. Helping. Christmas time. People give more than ever during Christmas time. That's great, people. I mean, you know, just have a giving heart, seems like. And people will give. We need to be giving people constantly. And David ran down. And as he let go that rock from that slingshot, it went so fast. I don't know if Goliath even saw it. It was so fast. But God, by the Holy Spirit, took that rock. And the Holy Spirit hit him. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the God he cursed, the God he hated, the God that he said all kind of evil against, hit him right between the eyes. That's God. Let me tell you, when we stand for the things of God, God will protect you. God will help you. God will give you the defense you need. God will move upon your heart. God will take care of those things. And all of a sudden, it says that he hit him so hard he fell down. Boom! Not forward, but backwards. And all of a sudden, David got to him, took out that sword from that sheath. He could hardly, it's that heavy. But he let the people see. And he went to his head. He had to get it right because he could hardly hold it. You know, he didn't want to cut off half of his body. Oh, I'm sorry. I need to do it again. I need just the head. That's all. I got part of the arm. I don't need that part. But he let it go. Boom. And he cut off the neck of the enemy. God will give you words. God will give you his spirit. God will give you his anointing to cut the head of the enemy that has tried to steal from you, that has tried to destroy you. Some of you have even thought about taking your life. Let me tell you, you have a lot to live for. God loves you. God loves you. You have a lot to live for. Don't ever let the enemy put that thought in your mind. You might say, well, yeah, he puts it, but let me tell you, reject it. and say, I'm a child of the living God. He has given me life, and God, He's given me life. I will live my life according to His word. I will tell people about Him and what He has done for me and the mighty deliverance He's brought into my life. And letting God be God. Letting God be God in your heart and in your life, as in my heart. And He took that head and He raised it up. And let me tell you, people, revival's coming like we've never seen before. I'm telling you, we're on the verge, on the edge of that cliff of revival that will shake Vermilion Parish, will shake this town, will shake Kaplan and Abbeville and all the places that we've never thought were possible that God could do something. But revival's coming. And God's going to use you and I to cut off the heads of the enemy so that revival of the Holy Spirit can flow at will within the churches, within the lives of the people. God is looking for people that are humble before Him and that will say, let me tell you, God, look what you've done. And David lifted up that head and didn't say, look what I did. But he said, look what the God of Israel has done. And he turned to the to the enemy. And they looked at him like, oh my God. And they started running. And also, the children of Israel started running down the valley to come and to take control and to conquer. You see, that's the kind of God we serve, that will give you power and authority over all the evils of the enemy. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of God we serve. Don't ever let the enemy say you're not worth much, because you're worth a lot. You know how much you're worth, and I know I've said this before, but it's, you're worth the blood of Jesus. Wow. The blood of Jesus. That's how much you're worth. It says, and we'll stop with this famous verse. And maybe you could say it with me, okay? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you don't know that scripture, they have it. Oh, no, not yet. Almost. Write it down and go and read that scripture. Memorize it. Get it in your spirit, okay? Amen. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah to the King. Yes, amen. Everybody's hungry now? It's only 11 o'clock. Y'all know that? I have 30 more minutes. 11:27. Time's on air. 11:27. Amen. Why don't you stand, please?